Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. Headline at MIBiz, One for the Road. Please explain.
Well, one for the road. You know, we see what Grand Rapids has been building here in this entertainment arena, the arts district, and you've got a lot of place where people like to go in, have a glass of wine, have a beer, Friday, Saturday night, or whatever. They have dinner, and then maybe they want to go try that craft brew down the street. But don't dare walk out the door with a glass of wine or a glass of beer in your hand. That's against the law. This issue is about open carry for open alcohol in public. There are some areas around the country that are relaxing these laws. Michigan is not one of them. But some folks here in Grand Rapids are kind of raising the issue. The folks at Barfly Ventures, that's the Hopcat and Fellas there in downtown, and Mark Sellers, you know, he raises the issue that, hey, everybody wants to protect kids. Who doesn't? But what about an adult who wants to behave like an adult? And we're not talking about public intoxication. We're talking about if I simply want to go to the other place for a beer. If I walk out with that cup, am I going to get a ticket? So this is the issue about whether these laws are still applicable in this day and age where these entertainment districts, and not just Grand Rapids, but really in many cities all over the country, these are becoming very popular districts. The clientele is fairly transient. They like going from one place to another during the evening and walking around the city streets and patronizing different establishments. So do these rigid laws, are they still, do they still apply? And there's a great line that Chris Larson from Downtown Grand Rapids Inc. says, you know, in some ways it's okay for someone to sit at a cafe on Monroe Center and have a glass of wine. That's economic development. But if you sit at the bench right next to that person at the table with a tall bottle of beer, that's criminal. Sometimes you're merely sitting or standing on the other side of a railing. So the story just raises the question. These kind of prohibition era, generations ago laws, how are they still applicable today? Are they still applicable today? As written, and some folks around the country are beginning to ask these questions. This was a story also in the Wall Street Journal recently, and Nick Manis here at MIBiz decided to take it up and just put a little attention to the issue. And these are, as these entertainment districts become increasingly popular in your core urban areas.
But as Nick found out in his article, not every establishment owner is necessarily on board with this.
Not everybody. You know, some folks would prefer to keep it the way it is. That's true. And you know, and there is an issue about if you start loosening this up, how far do you go? Let me give you an example of, you know, here over here where I live on the lakeshore at the state park. You know, you go into Grand Haven State Park, there are those big 3x3 foot bright yellow signs. No alcohol on the beach. Now, remember, Patrick, you and I know, doing this for a living, laws aren't written for you and I or other people that obey the law and behave themselves most of the time. They're written for people who choose not to behave themselves. And at that particular park, yeah, a lot of the problems are caused by people who want to sneak some beer onto the beach and don't know how to behave themselves. So you have these laws for the meatballs who just take things too far. Yes, that's an issue. I think what some of the folks in this story are saying, is there a way to, yes, address the meatballs, but also find a way for the people who do behave like adults and do behave themselves?
I understand what you're saying. It's for the mature adults who do behave.
Yeah, where's the balance?
Now, a piece that you've written this week, healthcare transparency tool drives cost savings. This gets everyone's attention as well.
Yeah, and it should get attention. We're trying to get into this era of consumerism in healthcare. We talked a little bit about this issue a couple of weeks ago when we had talked about a session roundtable conversation we had had with some folks in the health insurance industry. And in that day, they talked about the need for greater transparency. And coincidentally, Priority Health came out with some information here recently on its transparency initiative. This is a cost calculator Priority Health launched about 2 years ago. If you're having an elective procedure, such as your doctor says, go get an MRI, an X-ray, a CT, or you need some shoulder surgery or knee replacement surgery, elective procedures, you can look up the projected cost of that procedure based on where you may have it done and compare pricing at different hospitals, different facilities, and then get an estimate on what it's going to cost you out of pocket based on the benefit package you have for your health insurance. This is desperately needed in the healthcare, and I say to people quite often, You ever have a doctor refer you to somebody else for, okay, you need an MRI, you need an x-ray, or you need this? You ever ask them how much that's going to cost you? They kind of look at you and they have no idea. And this is the only area in the economy where you don't know the pricing beforehand. You can walk into Walmart, Meijer, Walgreens, any retailer, and there's the price right on the shelf. Why doesn't healthcare have pricing out front in front of people? So really what this is for Priority Health, this is something kind of leaping off the ledge a couple of years ago and trying to get some information to consumers so consumers can, well, act like consumers and shop around for the better pricing, the better quality, the better value, as we do in every other area of the economy.
And oftentimes you may be rewarded by your plan for doing that, correct? You'll get some type of a financial reward?
Yeah, Priority Health says about 10% of its commercial membership has indeed been using this cost calculator in the first year and a half to 2 years. The national average is about 2 to 3%, so there's some success here in Grand Rapids and Michigan with it. And if you do indeed use it, you'll get maybe a $50 prepaid debit card from Priority Health. If you choose to use that lower cost provider for your knee surgery or your MRI or whatever elective procedure you're having done, you could get a $200 prepaid gift card. Priority Health tells me it's paid out about $500,000 as rewards for people using the cost calculator. And again, being consumers of healthcare and trying to bring those effects and those forces of consumerism into the industry.
When you talk about those gift cards, and you know, a $200 is a sizable amount, that tells you just how much savings Priority Health can find by having its members and other consumers do the legwork and find the less expensive elective surgery or procedure.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a real misnomer out there and myth about healthcare that the most expensive is the highest quality. That's not necessarily true. And this cost calculator has some quality data with it. And over the years, there have been a number of what's called geographic variation studies on the difference in the pricing in one market versus a neighboring market, or even for the like procedure between two providers in the same market. I don't have that data in front of me right now, but it's some very wide differences in pricing within a given market. And what Priority, and it's not just Priority, Blue Cross Blue Shield also has a cost calculator, and many insurers offer some kind of tool now for their members to get some kind of a guess or some kind of an estimate on what a procedure is going to cost. But it's really something that's needed because there are some really wide variances in pricings within markets around Michigan and around the nation.
And a number of people have been keeping an eye on interest rates. The Federal Reserve has been raising rates about a quarter of a percent over the last, year and a half now, and we can expect more interest rate hikes.
Yeah, mostly bankers we talk to, and they say they're not really seeing folks coming in or really not affecting their lending volumes right now for commercial lending to businesses. You know, it's a little more costly. The terms are maybe a little more costly to borrow right now for your business. They are seeing more and more people wanting to get to a fixed rate loan. They've had this commercial loan for their business, a line of credit, and it's had a floating or variable rate for a while. They've seen two rate increases this year. The projections are we could get another one in December. The Fed held the line in July. We could get another one in December. And when I talked to an economist at Comerica, he expects not only December, but perhaps another one in 2018. It all adds up. So we're seeing more businesses wanting to fix the rates. And for consumers, it's bumping up that interest a little bit on home mortgages and car loans and boat loans and things like that. So something for folks just to be aware of. We're in a different environment. Interest rates have been at record historic lows for almost a decade now. We all remember that dark time late in 2008, and the economy just went into a tailspin, and the Fed put interest rates right to the bottom. Now it's beginning to finally bring those back up and get back to some normalcy, if they're indeed can ever define what is normal in the economy these days.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Talk to you again in 2 weeks.